every time Tom is gone, he's introduced just that way. And I think, God, I wish I were Tom, because if Tom's not here, I'm most of the time here, and that means he's traveling. I've said often, he's Tucson's Anthony Bourdain. He's all over the country doing all kinds of things. He's a little bigger than Anthony, and he has a beard.
Can he cook?
I think so, but I'm not sure, you know, it's five-star, five-diamond cooking, but I'm sure he's probably a pretty good cook. So Tom asked me about a week ago, because he's in Texas, if I would help, and I said I would. This is not something that I ask for, but it's something that I want to help my friends do. It's something that is interesting at times to do, as long as I don't do it a lot. I enjoy sleeping in a little bit, since I got up for almost 40 years, probably at about 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock, depending on where I was in my career. It's good to have you with us today on The Morning Voice. This is a five-host thought of Ed Ackerley over a year ago, where we have a different host each day, and I know that you've heard the spiel on that, so we have excellent hosts each day. We have Ted Maxwell. We have Ed Ackerley. We have Grant Kruger. We have Tom Moulton. And we have Lydia Aranda as your full-time hosts from 7 to 9 every week. We have an interesting show today. Tom did leave me some great guests, as he always does when he bails. We have the Southern Arizona Home Show coming up this weekend, and a representative will be here to talk to us about that and how it's changed. And it has changed. Basically, it's changed in my mind because SABA, the Southern Arizona Home Builders, is not operating the home show anymore. They sold the rights to their home show to a different company, and they are operating the home show from now on. So we'll be talking to Lucy Ferguson about that. Also, the last show I did, I believe, for Tom was regarding the Tucson Velodrome, which is basically an oval racetrack for bikes. And it's pitched so high that it's scary just to ride a bike on, because you go up, like, I don't know, 40 degrees is the incline at the top. And these guys, it's like NASCAR for bicyclists, as Ralph Phillips used to say. Ralph is with me this morning, along with Tim Vimmersnet. And Jeff, I'd like to welcome you, both of you gentlemen, to The Morning Voice today. Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Hey, Alan.
Hi, guys. You guys haven't met, but I talked to you, Tim, at length last night, and I talked to Ralph a lot throughout the year, and I thought you guys will have some interests in different guests and different topics today, so we thought it would be nice to bring you both on. Is that okay with you?
Fine with me.
Thank you for including me.
You are welcome. Tim, we'll start with you. You have a little thing that you do with Tom regarding the different events that are happening in Southern Arizona, either this weekend or coming up. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what those events are?
Well, thank you, Alan. Well, starting off, as you mentioned, the Southern Arizona Home Show this Friday through Sunday at the TCC from 9 to 5. Looking forward to another great home show. We also have the Arizona International Film Festival, April 3rd through the 13th, taking place at the Screening Room at Hotel Congress, and then at other locations downtown as well. Always a big hit. And then 10 West is going on now through March 30th, and that's a professional development conference and festival in the downtown Tucson area. And for information on any of these events and many more, please go to Visit Tucson, one of the show's sponsors. visittucson.org or thisistucson.com, and they'll have all the information, costs, times, and whatever you need to find out.
Tim, thanks so much. You're going to stay with us chime in if you'd like when we have guests to talk about anything you'd like or ask any question. Ralph, we have something that's interesting at 8 o'clock if you're going to stay with us until then. A gentleman is an adventure planner. He's a destination planner for folks that are 55 plus. It's called Live Once.
I fit in there.
Yeah, well, me too. Live Once Adventure Planning, and it's LIV, the number one, CE. Live Once Adventure Planning. He's a young guy named Jeff Plevniak, and I think this is a fairly new business, so we'll find out from about 8 to 8:30 what it's all about. A couple of things in the news. First of all, Representative Grijalva had a big ceremony yesterday down at San Augustine, and lots of people were there. They had lots of great things to say about the representative, and we are sorry for the family. Very sorry for the family.
Yes, we are.
We can have different opinions of a human being, but when they pass, they're still a human being, and their family grieves for them. And I've been there, and I know everyone else in the audience has been as well. Something different, though, I want to mention that was in the news and still is. The Arizona Inn, Ralph and Tim, is up for sale. Have you guys been there recently?
Not recently. Well, yeah, I have. I've had lunch there.
What about you, Tim?
Piano bar.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places in town.
Well, it's on the block. It's, you know, when you drive by it, it's pink, which always caught me. It opened in 1930.
And the windows are blue.
Yeah.
So that's right. That has a spiritual meaning of keeping evil spirits out.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I understand.
The founder of the inn was Isabella Greenway, the first congresswoman. And it's been going for nearly a century. It's been passed down through generations, beginning with Greenway's son. The property is marketed right now. And I have no idea what they're asking for it, but hopefully it's not a teardown, Tim. We hope that it'll stay quaint and with us in some different incarnation, or maybe as close to as what it is now. The hotel.
Well, we can guarantee that, Al. If you want to pitch in, I'll sell a couple of my cars, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, you've got a couple of Corvettes, from what I understand, but I think it's going to take more than that because the assessed value. How much is the assessed valuation, do you think, for the land and property alone, forgetting the brand and the building? How much do you think?
I would have no idea.
Well, take a guess. Just the assessed valuation.
$4.5 million.
You're too low.
I'm probably too low.
How about you, Ralph?
I'll double that, 900.
You're too high. 5.6. 5.6 assessed valuation, and as we know, assessed valuation is always less than the real value of the property.
Yeah.
But
right.
Just for the land and property, 5.6. So you know it's going to be probably in the double digits when you throw the brand in as well to buy something like that right in the central part of town. And I have to tell you, gentlemen, about a year and a half ago, I heard that Sam Fox was interested in buying that hotel. And for whatever reason, if he had a deal with the family, it fell through. And so he went to Phoenix, which he's in now anyway, and built a hotel called the Global Ambassador over at 44th and Camelback Road. I've driven by it. I haven't been in it, but it's, you know, in my mind, it's five-star, five-diamond. I'm sure that it's not that, but I certainly can't miss seeing that hotel. And they have a French steakhouse, which I don't know what that is, really. Steakhouse that has French food, I guess. I'd like to go in and see that. And they also sell memberships there for, I think, $75,000 a year at that place.
What do you get with a membership?
Well, not a lot, because I asked. I said, is that a once-in-a-lifetime membership? He said, no, it's every year, $75,000. Quite expensive. So,
wow.
Interesting story, and in a way sad, but you know what? When you have something for 100 years, probably time to turn the page if the family is done or wants to be done. You got to understand that they just don't want to do it anymore for whatever reason. They don't say what it is, and I can only guess that it's probably just a maintenance pig, and it's expensive to operate, you know, like an old house is. I live in an old house, so I can speak to that. What are you guys doing today after the show?
Well, I'm going to go for a bike ride.
Ralph
Phillips?
And
then Phillips. See a dentist.
All right. Tell him to pull them all. Tim, what are your plans later today?
I actually have no plans.
Well, good. You can watch the Rockford Files.
I'm going to watch the Rockford Files and enjoy retirement.
Perfect. Tim has quite a pedigree in town. If you want to lay out your resume real quick in about 15 seconds for us, Tim.
Sure. I started off as the maitre d' of Charles Restaurant back in the early 90s. And went to Trailless Town, ran the Savoy Opera House for 5 years, and planned a lot of weddings, a lot of ex-girlfriends' weddings, so it became odd. And then Tom Moulton hired me out at Old Tucson in 97 and worked for him for about 5 years. Went up to Scottsdale, ran a Western theme park called Rawhide. You may be familiar with that.
I sure am, yep. I lived there, and I went there.
Yeah, it was a great Western park. Been hired at the Desert Museum and spent 10 years as their director of operations and community affairs. A couple of years over at the Pima Air and Space Museum. And then to visit Tucson, where I retired in 2014 from tourism.
You're a destination and tourism fellow, is really what you are.
I am, yes.
If you ever get a chance to talk to Tim or meet him, he has just story after story. I mean, we spent about half an hour on the phone yesterday, and it was an eye-opener as to what the stories are from these different venues that he has worked at. It's 7:15. We're going to take a break, and we will talk with our first guest, Lucy Ferguson, from the Southern Arizona Home Show. This is 10:30 The Voice. In for Tom Moulton, I'm Big Al.
Zimri Deutsch and his violin of love, as they call it. I love you much too much. This is the gag that they used to do for the Mr. Grudgemeyer bit on Wallace and Ladmo, where they would smash balloons and styrofoam hats.
I miss them, but they re-air the show on Channel 7 up there.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, I think I just need to make a trip up there just to watch a couple of them. We'll be right back. And this is the theme of the Wallace and Ladmo show, performed by Mike Condello, Commodore Condello's Salt River Navy Band. Alan, if you'll notice, the place that they recorded at is Audio Recorders, which is where Ray Lindstrom and Bert Schneider recorded their Zoom records here in Tucson.
Bill Miller owned audio-video recorders up in Phoenix downtown, an Emmy Award-winning producer of great audio, and a friend of Ray and Bert, who passed recently, and our condolences to the Schneider family. Great story about those two guys with their Zoom record label. With us on the phone is the boss of the Southern Arizona Home Show, the assistant show manager, Lucy Ferguson. Lucy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure, Lucy. Lucy, you are new to Tucson with this show.
I am.
It's not called the Saba Home Show anymore because you guys purchased the show and you guys are running the show, and there are going to be pleasant changes, I'm sure, to the show. Tell us what the changes are that you have in mind this year.
Of course. So one of our biggest ones is we are definitely trying to bring in some larger names just associated with some home improvement. We'll have Kevin O'Connor from PBS's This Old House Friday and Saturday on our stage.
Now that's a name.
That is a long-running show. It's one of my favorites. And, you know, Tucson is such a thrift city. We also have Virginia Chamley coming in. She is author of Big Thrift Energy, and she just wants to share some thrifting ideas with our attendees.
Kevin O'Connor and Norm Abram did a house in Tucson back in the 90s over by Colonia Solana, where the water tower is. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but they came in and they did a quick tour of Tucson. They talked to all the locals. They had a local general contractor that they supervised kind of doing the work. And I remember them going to Tanya's restaurant, and Rudy over at Tanya's has a book of pictures of all his food items, and he would show them all the different food items, and they chose a different food item a couple of times. An interesting bunch of people that came with him. Produced out of Boston, WGBH, but they go all over the country. That's a great catch for you, Lucy, to have him come. That I hope you have enough chairs to... to have him, you know, you're going to sell that out wherever it's going to be.
That's what we're hoping. Yeah, he's we've been lucky to have him with a couple other of our home shows, just in different places in the U.S. And he does exceedingly well, and he is just wonderful to work with.
When will that be? When will you get to see Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. So we'll have him Friday at 3 o'clock, and then he will be back Saturday at 11 a.m.
Okay, and that's in the downtown portion, the downstairs portion of the TCC.
Yes. So you, when people enter,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, when people enter, they'll be on the upper level, and they'll be guided down to the main show floor, and they just need to follow the signs to the Fresh Ideas stage, and they will find some Kevin O'Connor.
Tell me other things that are new and different this year that you guys are bringing to us.
We are definitely trying to be a one-stop shop for our attendees. We're finding people are staying in their homes longer and longer, and they want to update and improve their homes to better suit their style of living for both the inside and the outside. So we tried very hard to just have a good mix of exhibitors for the important practical matters like plumbing and HVAC to some really fun house items like massage chairs or hot tubs. We even have a company doing stone cactus fountains. Our goal is to be a one-stop shop to save people time, money, and effort.
Lucy, you mentioned the fact that people are staying in their houses more, probably due to COVID, I'm guessing, and they just cocoon now more than they ever have. Ralph and Tim, I don't know if you are like that. I think I probably am a little bit, going out a little less. And so this sounds like a good idea, guys. Maybe you want to shoot down there and check out not only Kevin, but see some of the different things that they're offering.
The hot tub's not good.
I'd be more than happy to get you guys some tickets.
How much are tickets, Lucy?
Thank you.
Tickets are $8, but anyone can download a ticket for 50% off from the show's website. It's just southernazhomeshow.com. And tomorrow, Friday, is our opening day, and seniors 65 and up are completely free.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Whoa.
You know, back in the day, Lucy, I used to be the voice of the home show back a long time ago, and then a gentleman named Keith Duncan took it over, and he did a great job, but always a great time at the home show, and if you can go just a day or two, I'm telling you, it is worth going. It's worth the trip. I don't know about parking. What is parking these days down there?
Oh, parking's completely free. If people just head to Lot B, it's the big lot right at the entrance. They do not have to pay for parking all weekend.
Okay. How many people do you expect to be there based on history? I mean, Saba had some numbers that they gave you for what they had year over year. What do you expect to see this year for the home show over the 3 days?
We're expecting about 9,500 to about 10,000.
Okay. Well, that's a significant function in Tucson, that's for sure. Anything else you'd like to talk about for the Southern Arizona Home Show, Lucy?
Oh, we're so excited. We open Friday. We'll be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 9 to 5. Please check us out. We have a packed stage schedule. We even have a kitchen stage with some demos. We have a designer room right at the entrance from American Furniture Warehouse. There's a lot of stuff to see. We'll have adoptable dogs and cats from some pet rescue places. So just a good mix of everything.
Lucy, is this your first time running a major show, or is this just something that's old hat to you and you're first in Tucson now?
My first in Tucson. I've been lucky enough to run our Houston show.
Wow. Well, that's no small show. Tell me about that one.
Oh, it's fantastic. Houston's just a booming market. We do about 250 exhibitors there. It's at the NRG Center. So anyone in Houston in February will be there.
How big is that show, Lucy, in terms of census?
In terms of attendance, that show does about 12,000.
Wow.
And it is growing.
Wow. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking over and making sure this runs right. You guys are the new owners of the home show, the Southern Arizona Home Show. Lucy Ferguson, the manager. Thanks for talking to us, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back with Tim and Ralph and me. 7:35 on The Morning Voice, in for Tom Moulton. I'm Alan Big Al Kaith. Ed Ackerley will be on tomorrow. He does the Friday show. Ackerley Advertising, been around since 1968. Ed's family, his mom and dad, started the agency here, and Ed and his brother Bill continue the agency today. And we thank them for the opportunity, along with Tom, for being here with you today. Well, I can't call him an old friend, but I hope I can call him a friend. Charlie Key Rose. Charlie, good morning. How are you today, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Charlie.
Good morning, Alan.
Charlie was here, and we did an interview with Charlie regarding his velodrome. Ralph, do you remember that?
I certainly do. I'm excited about it.
Charlie sent me some, Tom sent me some pictures that I guess Charlie sent him regarding the construction of the velodrome. They broke ground. They've done a lot of the false work. They've poured the concrete on a lot of it. Charlie, I've got a couple of pictures of it. It looks like it's coming along pretty well.
Yes, it is. We hired some good engineers to design it, and a good designer, Peter Junick, who's just finishing up his, I believe it's his 42nd or 43rd velodrome in the Philippines right now, and he'll be out here about the second week in April to help oversee the project. And then we hired some of the best contractors.
Ralph Phillips is with us again, Charlie. He was here when we did our first interview. Charlie, for those of us that don't know what one is, tell us what a velodrome is.
A velodrome is for what they call track bikes. So it's a 250-meter oval with a 42-degree bank, and they've been raced on for years and years in the Olympics. Is mostly where you'll have contact with it or view it, I should say.
All of them are wooden so far, except for yours that you're building.
Yes, correct. Peter Junick, the designer, has had a dream for many years of building an aluminum velodrome, for many reasons, because they don't take as much maintenance and termites and weathering. And then also, they're able to pick them up and move them if necessary. So this has been his dream. He tried to do it in Saudi Arabia, I believe, but it ended up not going through or being passed. So he approached us and the business partner, the Lowell Foundation, and was able to convince us that it's the right product for Tucson.
Ralph, when you were here and we were talking with Charlie the first time, you referred to a velodrome as NASCAR for bikes.
Yeah, it used to be one of the exciting things. I mean, if you're a spectator, it's so easy to go to a velodrome and watch the whole thing, whereas a road race, you just see the riders go by and that's it. So velodrome's really great for spectators.
Tim, I'm wondering if you want to ask Charlie about the ADA things that are going on when they are constructing the velodrome.
Well, sure. I'm just curious if it's ADA accessible and what kind of accommodations are provided.
Well, that's a really good question.
I've been paralyzed for 4 years, so I look for fun things to do that I can do.
Sure, that you can access. That's always critical for ADA. Well, we have we will have sidewalks to the restrooms or the facilities, and then into getting to the infield of the velodrome, you'll actually go through a concrete walkway, a tunnel. It's a smooth tunnel. You'll be able to roll down and roll back up. And okay. And then as far as far as riding, I'm not the expert in that, but I understand there is some of that. But again, I really don't know a lot about that. We just wanted to make sure it was ADA accessible.
I'm looking at the tunnel I'm looking at the tunnel right now, Tim. They've completed, it looks like, the tunnel portion of the velodrome. Charlie, I missed during our last interview telling our listeners where you're building because I got so caught up in the details of the lease with the county. You're building out at the fairgrounds, right?
Yes, right next to the fairgrounds. It used to be called Pima County Off-Highway Vehicle Park. It was just to the north, or excuse me, to the south corner of that, next to Musselman Honda Circuit. The track is going to be accessible from the loop up until you get to the fairgrounds. When you get to the fairgrounds, there's about 2 miles of pavement you have to ride on. Unfortunately, you'll have to ride with cars, but you can ride there the whole way from the loop from in town.
On your bike.
Fantastic.
That's pretty neat, Ralph. I didn't know that.
I did not either. That's a great add-on.
No, that's
we've
fantastic.
Also talked to the... We've talked to the county about someday adding additional trail through there where we won't have to mingle with the cars. That's important. And it's a project that's done in conjunction with Pima County. Pima County's been really good to us in allowing us to build the kart track, which has brought a lot to Tucson. And then also, in addition, add this venue. It becomes feasible because you're not having to secure the land and rezone the land, which can be extremely expensive and double the price of the development.
Ralph, anything?
So when do you expect to have this done, Charlie?
Well, the time changes based on weather and some things. Weather's one of the big issues, and then we have other issues too sometimes that are unpredictable. We had a die that broke. All our aluminum's coming out of City of Industries, California. We had intentionally, a while back before all this tariff stuff happened, we're going to buy USA aluminum, which we did, and we got in the queue early, which really helped us from some costs. So there are some delays. Just last week they broke one of the dies, so they're having to remanufacture another die. To answer your question, we were thinking the end of May, but at this point we're thinking more like midsummer, and then we're going to do a soft opening for a while. We're going to practice and schedule and plan, and our actual grand opening should be in, we're thinking, October.
Sometime in October. Very good. Yeah. And I noticed you mentioned the aluminum was being purchased in the U.S., so you have wisely avoided any tariff potential. You probably didn't even think about that when you were purchasing that aluminum, Charlie.
No, we didn't. When we were shopping it, I came up with two numbers, and my business partner said, no, I only want to buy U.S. aluminum, and this was 2 years ago. So it was a good choice.
That was a great choice, yeah. Great foresight there on that. Without getting into a lot of detail, this is a low seven-figure construction price. What do you expect to see in terms of an admission? Is it a $5 admission do you plan, or what do you think that it's going to be?
We haven't actually finalized that because we've been all over the map with it. We're comparing other venues, but being that this venue, as you mentioned, is aluminum, and the design and the quality of it, it's going to be probably a little bit higher than what you would pay in California or even in Michigan, a couple of the other venues that were built years ago. I think we're going to be probably $20 to come in, and that'll help us pay for our insurance, and then to ride will be slightly more. We're going to have training that we're going to require. You just go through a brief training class so you get familiar with the procedures and etiquette and et cetera. And then we'll have you certified, and you can come out and ride. And we'll have certain days scheduled consistently. So, for example, this may not be it exactly, but here's an example. Wednesday night may be ladies' night. Before that, at 5 o'clock or 5:30, it might be juniors, so young kids. 10, 11, 12 years old group. And we'll schedule that consistently week after week so that people can plan their visits.
Ralph, have you ever ridden in a velodrome?
I never had the opportunity. I've been to the one in San Diego, but have not ridden it.
Does it scare you?
No, actually, it looks really great. Even though you're saying it's a 42-degree banking, it as the bike gains speed, that banking is necessary to kind of make the corner. And, yeah, I find it really exciting.
Just thinking of, you know, like almost a 45-degree angle, I think, how the heck are these people going to get up there? And obviously, this is just a layman talking. Yeah, it is pretty steep, but there's a way to do it. And, Ralph, I don't know how that is, but I can you go?
Speed, your speed on the bicycle. So if you're not going fast enough, you will slip to the inside. So it causes you to go faster up and around the corners.
The centrifugal force, the energy, you know, as you gain speed.
Is it about a 400-meter velodrome?
No, it's 250-meter. Yes.
Okay.
So, and that's we're meeting the USA and the International Olympic standards is our goal, so that we can attract people from all over the world, which it will attract, because one of the things that was caught our ear is that Peter said, being aluminum, it'll have a little bit less deflection than wood would in turn, and they could set record times at this track. They think this may be the fastest track in the world.
That's exciting.
Well, it certainly will attract people. I mean, Tucson is already a destination for cycling, and to add track riding into it will really help a lot.
Charlie, let's go back just a little bit. How did you get this idea in the first place?
I to be really honest,
we love really honest people, by the way.
Well, I have only one. I can only tell you one story, and I got into cycling. I've always my whole life raced motocross here in Tucson, motorcycles, and then I got into karting as I got older because you don't bounce off the ground as easy, and then I got into cycling. My business partner in the go-kart track was into it, and he would say, come on, let's go ride. And so I'd go ride, and it really helped get me fit. He's a cardiologist, and he showed me that it was really important, and I enjoyed it. And so after I ride, I feel so much better. You know, you feel 5 years younger at least. Anyways, I got into it, and then one day we were going to build both a road course, a full-size IndyCar track, and we were going to put this in. And the IndyCar track got canceled, but then we pushed and pushed. He said, keep pushing, try to get at least this done. And I pushed, and we finally got it approved. And that's how it happened. But it was actually my business partner, physician.
From concept to where it is now, how long did this take you?
It's been about 7 years or 6 years.
Well, that seems reasonable. I mean, that's a lot of thinking and sleeping and having little issues and change orders and things like that with you know, talking to the county about leasing land. I'm sure wasn't ideal at times, you know, thinking that maybe you wouldn't get the lease. So
it's difficult. But to review that with you and just give you a little insight, it's really neat because it's the county has. The government has no investment. It's just us. It's a nice partnership, and there's no tax money going to it. It's all private money.
We're going to take the break right now on The Morning Voice. Charlie Quiroz with the Tucson Velodrome. He's the principal of it, along with Tim Vimmerstedt and Ralph Phillips. I'm Big Al. On Thursday, we'll be right back. 7:53, I'm Big Al, in for Tom Moulton on The Morning Voice, along with my guest hosts, Tim Vimmerstedt and Ralph Phillips. Ralph owns Fairwheel Bikes in Tucson at 6th and Park, and he is my voice. He is the voice of the El Tour, and we do this every year on El Tour Day, the last Saturday in November. Ralph, you looking forward to another big El Tour this year?
Absolutely. I always enjoy it, and it's fun broadcasting with you, Big Al.
It's always a pleasure, Ralph. You know, Charlie, last year we touched 10,000 riders visiting or are here. I think around 60 to 70% are visitors. I'm not sure about that ratio, Ralph. Maybe you can step in and correct me if I'm wrong, but we have a lot of people that are interested and come here as a destination for cycling. So you're going to tag on to that with this velodrome, and there may be a lot of people that are very unfamiliar with it. So this training that you offer before you turn them loose on the velodrome is kind of interesting to me. What is involved in that?
Well, as you may be familiar with, velodrome bikes are quite different. They don't have gears. They're locked in. It's a direct drive. So when you pedal, you can't just stop and freewheel the pedals. The pedals continue. As you slow down, you have to slow down pedaling, then you slow down to a stop. They continue. They're locked in. Also, they don't have brakes. So they're very light, very precision bicycles. And they're just designed for speed and bursts of speed. And then, you know, as you've mentioned, it's very similar to NASCAR in certain ways, because you tuck in behind the person in front of you. So they're quite a bit different. And that's why you would have the training plus because of the bank turns. You start down low and you learn and you get used to that new system. If you've ever started with clips on your bicycle for your pedals, it takes a little bit getting used to. Some people stop and then all of a sudden they tip over because they forget they have a clips on. So it's just adapting to this new style of riding.
Will you have bikes for rent there, or do we have to bring our own?
Yes, we already purchased 30 bicycles of different sizes so that we can conduct educational classes and training classes.
Tim, I know this will interest you. When Charlie was with us during our last interview, he was big into the youth and teaching the youth how to do this. And Charlie, explain to Tim and remind Ralph and I about the plans that you have for the youth with the velodrome.
It's going to be pretty extensive. That's going to be one of our major, I should probably say, our major focus. So some of the bikes of the 30 that we purchased are for youth, and we've met with different school districts, primarily Vail, because they're located
close. They're close, yeah.
And we're planning on having a youth programs, and then we do a lot with SARSEF. In fact, this weekend, SARSEF is doing their first test of the year. During the year, they construct solar go-karts, and this Saturday will be closed just for testing for the solar go-karts for the students,
cool.
High school students. And then next month, they'll have their competition. And it's not just about racing. It's about understanding, you know, how it functions, how the solar panel works, how it conducts electricity, and et cetera. But we integrate these programs that can be very helpful and are needed, desperately needed in our educational system, where they have hands-on training and something you get excited about. I have to give you this one vision I keep having. I could only imagine being 7, 8 years old and my dad walking me down that tunnel and into the velodrome and looking around and seeing those bank turns. I would just be like, Dad, I want to ride it. So that's what we're going to hope and we think we'll get from the kids. They'll walk into that velodrome and just be, no, I get to ride this. This is going to be so exciting. And it gives them, and you know, and it's something that's really good for their health to build a ride like that and get their self flowing and moving.
Fantastic.
Well, we will keep up in terms of the construction date. You're saying it's October now, and we believe that you're going to have good weather and everything's going to go your way in terms of the contractor getting everything they need and no breakdowns, and things will go your way, Charlie. Thank you for the second interview about the velodrome. Charlie, we wish you good luck.
Thank you for your help. And we get so much community support. It's incredible. People have just come out of the woodwork to help. And again, thank you, everyone.
Tell us again where it's going to be, Charlie.
It's going to be 11800 South Harrison, Tucson. It's just to the west of Pima County Fairgrounds, and it's co-located with Musselman Honda Circuit. And you can catch Tucson Velodrome on TucsonVelodrome.com. There's updates and pictures on TucsonVelodrome.com.
Charles Quiroz, the principal of Tucson Velodrome, the manager of P1 Carts. Thanks again. We will be back after the top of the hour. Matt's got a news and I think a traffic break. Tim Vimmerstedt and Ralph Phillips and I will be back on the Morning Voice for the second hour. Gentleman who is got an interesting business plan, who has been executing it, Jeff Plevniak from Live Once Adventure Planning will be our guest in the first half hour when we return. Hope you're having a good Thursday. I'm Big Al in for Tom Moulton. Tom Moulton, the Anthony Bourdain of Tucson. As much as he travels, he reminds me of Anthony Bourdain, I'll tell you. He's always somewhere outside of Tucson, but he always manages to make it back most of the time to do this show. In this case, he didn't make it back in time, so I'm here. My name's Alan Kaith, and along with me, my special guest host, Tim Vimmerstedt, and Ralph Phillips. Ralph with Fair Wheel Bikes, and Tim, a retired I would say bon vivant, from a maitre d' of Charles Restaurant to the GM of the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, and of Rawhide, and sales manager at Old Tucson Studios. He has quite the pedigree, I'll tell you. It was interesting talking to you yesterday,
thank
Tim.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly, Alan.
Ralph and Tim, we have our next to final guest of the day in here with us on the Morning Voice. This gentleman has had a passion for adventure his whole life, is what he says. His dad is either Ron or Jeremiah. I think his legal name is Ron, but his nickname is Jeremiah.
That's right, just like Jeremiah Johnson.
Jeremiah Johnson. Yeah, and he had the Jeremiah Johnson Robert Redford beard, because I saw that on your website. This gentleman's name is Jeff Plevniak from Live Once Adventures. And it's interesting how you have made your name set out and stand out from other websites by spelling it L-I-V, the number 1-C-E.com.
That's right. That's right. It's kind of like a custom license plate.
LiveOnce.com.
LiveOnce.com.
Now, are you a destination marketer?
I am a experience company.
Okay.
So all of my adventures include round trip transportation from a central location, snacks and bottled water for the road. They include a meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, depending on what time of day it is, and then all admission and fees to whatever attraction we're going to, or whatever event or adventure that we're having.
55 plus is your demo. You want those folks and up, someone that doesn't have carpet munchers attached to them.
Yep, that's right.
I've got a 17-year-old, so I'm not sure that that would work out well for me unless I decided to let her do something else that day.
Yep. So I do cater to all age groups, but right now I'm kind of focusing on the 55-plus communities. It's definitely an untapped market. It's those communities do not have a lot of people trying to get them out doing fun things and living their lives again. And that's something I'm passionate about, people doing things and creating experiences and creating memories. And the 55 plus communities, there's way too many of those residents that are just sitting in their apartments watching the bad news and not getting out and doing fun things. So I am here to change that for as many people as possible around Southern Arizona. And also I've also branched out into the East Valley of Phoenix.
Yeah. I saw that on the website. You do a couple of destination things up in the East Valley.
That's
up
right.
In the Phoenix metro area. Jeff Plevniak is our guest. And Jeff, you got motivated to doing this sort of thing, I think, from your father. Tell us about Jeremiah.
I did. He was a big part of my life growing up. My parents were divorced early on in my childhood, and I got to see him every other weekend. And every other weekend was absolutely wonderful. Made so many memories. Lots of hikes, lots of camping, riding on the back of the motorcycle, riding on the handlebars of the motorcycle. Don't tell anyone. Can't really do that nowadays. But it was always fun. He's definitely a free spirit, somebody that doesn't hold back at all. And I'm glad I got that gene. Going into the recent times, he just turned 75 years old this year, and he lives in Idaho. He came down to visit for about a month and a half this year, and just before his birthday, I took him skydiving for the first time. He absolutely loved it. Fantastic. It was the best birthday present he's ever had and the best experience he's ever had.
Of course, it was a dual skydive, wasn't it?
It was. Tandem skydive, yes.
Did you go with, or was it an experienced...
I went with.
So it was absolutely. You and him together.
Not with the same parachute.
I was going to say.
But in the same plane, yes.
Okay, I got it. So you went, he went, you both jumped.
Yep, that's right.
Got it. Well, I imagine that was probably something that... I've never done it. I've got 19,000 hours in airplanes, all in the right seat because of what I used to do for a living. But I never wanted to jump out of one.
It is fun. It does something to it. It definitely, it definitely strengthens you as a person, to say the least.
You have a lot of trust in things that are, and people that are doing things for you that you don't have any control over.
Yep, that's right.
Like packing the chute.
Yep.
And packing the backup chute.
Yeah, it's part of living life.
Yeah.
is the trust and going forward and I guess realizing that you made the right decision to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reward at the end when you're on the ground and you have that all that adrenaline rushing through you and the memories that you have after it.
Ralph, Mr. Vimmerstedt has, I think, do you have some sort of a cycling adventure or watching cycling at all?
Currently, no.
Well, we've got a guy on the phone that is probably Mr. Cycle in Tucson. He's the voice of the L Tour. He's my co-host on the L Tour Ride Day radio show on the last Saturday of November when we do the L Tour ride. And last year, we had about 10,000 riders. His name is Ralph Phillips. And Ralph, this gentleman here may be someone that you'd like to talk to about any kind of cycling adventure for the 55-plus.
That would be great. What kind of adventures do you do now, besides jumping out of airplanes?
Currently, I have anything from skydiving all the way down to the Rogue Theater, Saguaro City Theater.
Yep.
You know, anything in between. My feeling is adventure is subjective. Some people like to jump out of airplanes. Some people just like to go to the theater and experience that. So anything in between, but cycling is definitely something I can put in my menus.
Well, Tucson is certainly a cycling venue. I mean, there's so many opportunities, including the loop around the city, which would be great for a lot of riders.
Mm-hmm.
And when the track gets here, that'd be even more.
Absolutely.
Tim Vimmerstedt is with us also, and Tim is paralyzed. And Tim, I'm going to ask for you, are there any opportunities for people that need ADA assistance on any of your experiences? Can you accommodate those people? It's for you.
I have a 15-passenger van that I use. It is not an accessible van, but I have a little step stool and do some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Accessible adventures are something that, as the company grows, is going to be in the future.
Okay. All right.
For sure.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Well, thank you.
So I looked at your website. I'm interested in just about all of these tours. You have a San Javier Mission Tour, a Kitt Peak Tour, a Biosphere Tour, a Petroglyph Tour, a Caving and Wine Tour, Helicopter and Photo Adventure Tour, Mount Lemon Adventure Tour, a two-cave adventure. I'm guessing one of those is Karchner Caverns.
Colossal Cave and Karchner Caverns.
Okay.
In one day.
An 1800s silver mine adventure. A road course. Tell us about that. What road course would that be? Would that be right down Grant Road in the construction area? Or
that could be. That's definitely
a hell
an adventure.
For
sure. That is actually Indy Motorsports Ranch, which is outside of Wilcox. It's a private racetrack, private road course, 2.7-mile road course. It's one of the more challenging road courses, but they do have packages. I offer packages with them to provide transportation and either half day or full day experiences. Now, those experiences include the transportation there. They include a in-classroom instruction, driving instruction, and then in-car instruction from a driving instructor. And then you get either a half day or a full day, 4 or 8 hours on the track.
It's a lot of driving, 4 hours on that track.
It is. And also lunch is provided. They have a wonderful private chef there with gourmet meals.
So what is the range of cost of these? I think it's in the low 100s that I saw, at least for some of these starting out.
It is. They start out about $120, and all the way up to the private racetrack adventure is something that's definitely once in a lifetime thing. That one is a little over $1,500.
Okay.
For that.
And is there a certain minimum of people that you need to have for critical mass to do one of these adventures?
For most of the adventures, it's 6 to 13 people.
Okay. And so if someone like Ralph or myself or even Tim would call you and say, we three want to go, you would put us into a queue and schedule another three to however many.
Yes. Yeah, I can do that.
And how long does it take for you to facilitate an extra 3 to 5 to get your critical mass to do one of these tours, in general? I mean, I know it varies, but...
Generally a couple weeks. Right now, being in the 55 plus communities, I have scheduled adventures for them. But I can, example, if I have another group that wants to do a similar adventure, I can put them in with the community I'm servicing.
Okay.
So it would be probably a couple weeks.
Ralph, I've never asked you how old you are, but I think you're in your 70s, right?
Well, I am going to turn 75 this year.
This guy is so physically fit. There's not an ounce of fat on him.
I'm working on that, Big Al.
And
he
gets out a lot.
Oh,
he's a world traveler. He does road races all over the world. And is there something that, Ralph, that you've always wanted to do, but in the area locally, but have not ever done other than skydiving? Have you done a zip line, Ralph?
I've never done a zip line. That would be exciting. Or what he mentioned about the Wilcox road race, road driving, that excites me. I like cars.
In addition,
my motorhead.
Yeah, you are a motorhead. They
yeah,
have
boy.
A tandem skyline. Tell me about that. A tandem skyline. So you're zipping down with a helper? Is that what you're doing, Tim? Or is that what you're doing?
That's actually tandem skydive.
Tandem skydive.
Yeah, I think
okay.
It's a misprint.
All right. I got it now.
I think a zip line is a single person thing.
Yeah, the zip line is a single person.
Okay.
I use Arizona Zip Line, which is outside of Oracle. We have 5 different zip lines, and they get progressively faster and longer as you go through the course.
An adventure in the Chiricahuas. Tell me about that.
That's more of a hiking adventure. That's a trip to the Chiricahua National Monument and a hike of your choice, a guided hike of your choice.
How long? 1 mile? 2 miles?
Anywhere from 1 mile to 5 miles.
Okay.
Depending
also,
on your fitness.
Also, a private off-road adventure. Now, where would you take the folks that would like to do something like that?
Private off-road adventure would be, depending on where you're based, near Reddington Road or the backside of Mount Lemmon. We can go up the control road, the backside of Mount Lemmon, up to the Mount Lemmon Lodge and have some lunch afterwards.
That Reddington Road cut through to San Manuel is pretty hairy.
It is.
I'm sure that that would be an experience. I've never done that, but I knew that people do it. And I thought, how long would it take for you to cut through that eastern side of the Rincon and Santa Catalina Mountains and get over to San Manuel? How long does it take you to do that?
It takes a couple hours. It depends on the vehicle.
Yeah.
Depends on the vehicle. You can do it with a high clearance two-wheel drive vehicle, but if you have a built-up four-wheel drive vehicle, you can do it a little bit faster.
Well, I got to tell you, we have one more segment with Mr. Plevniak. An interesting business model, 55 plus adventure planning. Jeff has a website called liveonce.com. You want to go and check that out and get in touch with him. 55 plus adventures is what we're talking about for the next segment on The Morning Voice. In for Tom Moulton with Ralph Phillips and Tim Vimmersnet, I'm Big Al. Jesse Coulter, great singer, sang a few with Waylon Jennings, I remember. I'm Big Al on The Morning Voice, along with my co-hosts Ralph Phillips and Tim Vimmersnet. With us today, Vimmersnet. My apologies, Tim.
I still have trouble with it.
Oh, man. That's throwing me a real bone. I appreciate that. We're with Live Once Adventure Planning, 55 plus adventures for mature adults. The CEO, owner, and everything is Jeff Plevniak. And we were talking off the air about how Jeff got started doing this. And you were in the car business for 30 years?
I was in the car business for about 30 years, yes.
All local?
All local in Arizona, yes. I moved to Arizona, so I grew up in Buffalo, New York, outside of Buffalo, New York, and I graduated high school and ran away from home with a girl. Ended up in Arizona, got a job at a Toyota dealership in Scottsdale, got a couple years experience there, and then moved to Tucson and got a job at a local Toyota dealership here.
Why did you move?
I moved with the girl.
Follow the girl. Usually it's the other way around. Usually they follow the guy. So, and so you were the shop manager of this Toyota dealership here locally.
Yep. Shop manager, had about 75 technicians, and, it was very rewarding. It was eventually time for me to leave, and I ended up going to, Lucid Motors in Casa Grande right after the factory opened.
That is incredible. I see a few of them around. I don't see a lot of them around, but tell me about that. Tell me about Lucid. I drive by it on Thornton Road up there. It seems like it's huge. I hear that the Saudi empire has invested a lot of money in Lucid Motors.
Yep,
for sure. I don't see a lot of cars.
They are more a high-end car right now, so they don't sell a ton of them. It was very, very exciting for me. Because I got in as soon as the factory opened, before we were producing cars for customers. So I was working alongside of the engineering teams, helping fine-tune the vehicle for getting ready for production for customers. And also the manufacturing process, fine-tuning the manufacturing process and getting that going in a brand new factory with a brand new automobile, electric automobile.
What kind of bugs did you encounter with this? Because I guess the CEO of Lucid actually started with Elon Musk doing Tesla cars as well.
Yeah, from what I understand, he was the chief design engineer for the Model S at the time. The Lucid is definitely, the technology there is far better than anything else on the road. And being a startup, of course, there's going to be some issues. I was part of the repair team there. So mm-hmm. I had a team of repair technicians that helped fix the cars and get them ready for the dealerships, the studios mm-hmm. to sell to the customers. So starting out, we did see a bunch of problems. We caught all of those before the cars left the factory.
Mm-hmm. How many Lucids are out there, in your opinion, right now? Just before you left, how many ran through the production line and are out there in civilization somewhere?
For production, I was there about a year, and I think it was about 2,400 cars.
Okay.
The first year of production.
Yeah. They got to sell a lot more than that, but I know that they're ramping up still to do that.
That's right.
How many people work at Lucid?
There was just over 1,000 people in the factory.
Wow, that's incredible for a town like Casa Grande. That
yep.
just about everyone that needed a job could probably work there.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing. Well, and so after Lucid, you decided.
Well, after Lucid, so backing up a little bit, like I said, it was amazing working with the engineering teams, and then I'm sure some people have some experience in manufacturing jobs and the stories about the long hours and the every day of the week, they're true.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for me because I didn't have enough time to go out and explore and adventure and do the things that I love, which is finding new things to do, new places to go. you know, the 12, 14 hour days, the 22, 23 days straight without a day off.
Yeah.
That took a toll on me.
Yeah.
So luckily, there was some layoffs and I was one of them and it was a blessing. I wouldn't change. I wouldn't go back and not work at Lucid Motors. It was a wonderful experience, but I was at, once I got laid off, I was able to step back and figure out, you know, at 47 years old, what I finally want to do for a living. And I love to go out and adventure. I love to help people. I love to change people's lives. So I started this company. And the thing...
About a year.
A little more than a year ago, yep. So the thing that kind of started the seed was in January of 2023, I was working at Lucid Motors, the endless hours and the endless weeks. And I went in on a Friday and they said, we're going to close the plant for 2 weeks for parts inventory. So when you go home today, don't come back for another 2 weeks. I got home. I didn't know what to do with time off. I wasn't used to it. So I decided that night that I was going to pack up my RV the next morning and drive up the Pacific Coast Highway up to San Francisco, something that I've always wanted to do. And I had no plans, no itinerary, no reservations, no nothing. I just went and did it. And it was one of the most freeing experiences that I've had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to worry about anything. I actually chose not to worry about anything. And that's what was great about it. So it kind of stuck in the back of my mind. What if I could bring this experience to other people? What if I could give them an experience and create memories for them where they didn't have to worry about making the reservations or gathering people together or any of that stuff?
Right.
So that kind of planted the seed in the back of my mind for Live Once Adventure Planning.
What is your most popular adventure?
I have two very popular ones. The most popular one is probably the Kitt Peak nighttime adventure.
It's hard to get into Kitt Peak, isn't it?
It is, especially this time of year. They're booked out about a month and a half right now.
And that's a 3-4 hour adventure?
It
is. 5 hour adventure, maybe?
It is. We have an early dinner at Fred's Arena Bar and Steakhouse outside of Three Points.
Pretty good place.
It's an awesome place. It's an experience in itself.
What's your second most favorite?
Second most favorite is the Caving Wine, Karchner Caverns in the morning, and then three wineries in the afternoon.
With sampling.
With sampling, tastings at each, and lunch.
It's a real pleasure to have you here. I hope your business goes well. It's a young business. You're going to have bends and things that you don't expect, as you know, and just roll with it.
Yep, it's part of it.
Good luck. Jeff Plevniak from Live Once, LIV1CE.com. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you, Al.
We'll be back after the news and traffic break, I believe, with Mr. Matt Neely. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI. 8:35 on The Morning Voice, KVOI 1030. I'm Alan Kaith, Big Al, along with my co-host Tim Vimmerstedt and Ralph Phillips. This is our final segment of the morning, and we have a guest that I met on a lark last night. She took my call. She has a pretty big job, Ralph and Tim. She is the kind of the manager, I would say. I'll get her exact title in a minute, of the Arizona International Film Festival. Mia Schneibel. Mia, how are you?
Great, Alan. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I heard that you have about 60 filmmakers coming to the Arizona International Film Festival. Tim mentioned that this is a big thing on April 3rd through the 13th for downtown folks that want to come down and see these shows.
Yeah, Tim is right. The 33rd Arizona International Film Festival is April 3 through the 13th, and we have 5 venues this year. We're going to be, our home is the Screening Room. It's the Heart and Home. Our organization owns the Screening Room. And the Mercado Annex, where the All Souls procession ends. We put up a screen right before. It's outdoors. We have one at the Fox, one at the Loft, and one at Main Gate Square Plaza, where they have this big video board that's bolted to the back of Chipotle. It's a hidden gem.
Your film festival is the oldest and longest running film festival in Arizona.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's kind of hard to imagine that We were the first in the state, and now Tucson is blessed with 8 major film festivals, and we're really happy to have so much independent film in Tucson. Tucson is very, very fortunate.
You told me last night that there are 14,000 film festivals roughly around the country. That's a lot of film festivals. And for you to be in the top 100 of those 14,000 festivals all 9 years that you've been doing the festival that they've had this award. I mean, you've been doing it longer than that, obviously 33 years. But the award for the one of the top 100 has only been around 9 years, and you've been in the top 100 each of the last 9 years. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's it is so cool because it is through Film Freeway, and that's how the filmmakers find out about the film festivals around the world. And they have to be reviewed. You have to have the filmmaker have a film in your festival, and the filmmakers write the reviews, and they select it from there. And so very excited that my team's hard work pays off for the last 9 years, and that the filmmakers have such a great time and love being represented at the Arizona International Film Festival.
How about throwing out your sponsors for the film festival while we have a couple of minutes?
Oh, we have tons of great sponsors. We have Rio Nuevo. We have Pima County Tourism. We have Visit Tucson, Film Tucson, Pima County Attractions and Tourism. We have all our hotel sponsors, Ramada at the Wyndham, Leo Kent, Hampton, Home 2 Suites, and, of course, Hotel Congress, where we're having our opening night. That's just a few of our sponsors. We have a lot of great community support, but that's just a few. The rest of them will be listed on our website and the back of our program.
Mia Schneibel from the Arizona International Film Festival with us here on The Morning Voice. Mia, I'm guessing you need some volunteers as well. Do you need help?
We do. We still have some volunteer slots open, Alan. If they would like, if you want to volunteer for this festival, it's not too late. The program comes out on Saturday, so we'll be delivering the programs all over Tucson. We got 5,000 programs we got to get out on Saturday. So if you come down to the screening room, 127 East Congress, right across from the old Chicago store, if you come by between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m., we can do a quick volunteer orientation and get you set up, bring your calendar because you'll sign up for shifts, and then hand out the programs. Easy peasy. If you work one shift, you get one ticket, and if you work 6 shifts or more, you get a pass that's good for the whole festival.
So that's the bonus. You get to see the movies at no charge if you volunteer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How many features this year? How many feature films?
This year we have over 70 feature films and over 37 shorts.
Wow.
And the great thing about shorts is a great way, if you've never been to it, because a lot of people are like, ooh, what's a film festival? I don't really understand what a film festival is. Well, a film festival is a collection of films that we show, and our theme is international, bridging cultures. Every film festival has a theme. And so when you have a short program, and if you've never been to a film festival, highly recommend it, because you get, for $10, you get to see 5 to 8 short films. So if you don't like one, you just wait a few minutes and then the next one will come on the screen. And it's a great way to kind of dip your toe into film festivals. Like Friday, April the 4th at 7:30 at the festival grounds at Mercado Annex, you know, where the shipping containers are, we're going to have a collection of animated shorts, including Eating an Orange, which won the Sundance Animation Directing Award this year.
Have you seen it?
I've seen parts of it, and it is, people think animation's for kids. This isn't an adult. It's an adult film, let's just say that.
Got it. 19 countries are represented.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It always, I'm always astounded when, yes, we're, you know, one of the top 100 film festivals, but I'm still amazed when, like, Iceland, like, submitted this year. And I'm like, wow, you know, people in Iceland know about this film festival in Tucson. And it just really, it really makes me full of pride, pride and happiness.
Ralph, have you been to the film festival?
I have not, and I should attend. I'm a film buff myself, but usually old classics.
Oh, so Ralph, so besides just old classics, what kind of films do you like?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know if I could quantify it. I like the, like, North by Northwest, some of the Hitchcock's films,
yeah.
Rear Window.
Yeah.
That kind of
thing. Yeah, like kind of like thrillers.
Thrillers,
well, you should
are
check
on
our
my
website.
List.
Well,
okay.
Ralph, let me tell you, we got you. We got you covered. If you go to Film Festival Arizona, we have this really cool, I call it the film slot machine. You go to films, you hit
like
browse
that.
Films, and you yep. can pick the category. So, like, you can pick out okay. of the categories, you can pick, we have a thriller section, we have a Western section. You hit go, and it sorts all the films out. Or you could do it by themes, like if you are into community films or dance films or environmental films, you can hit environmental, hit go, it will bring up all the environmental films. Or you can select by title. Yeah, it's really fun, and you can combine categories and themes and just hit go. And then if you have, like, say, let's see, we have two thrillers. We have Hate Room, and that's part of our Indie Youth Film Festival. It's a film festival within our film festival. That's filmmakers 18 and under. And people always think that our Indie Youth program is just skateboards and puppy dogs, but the yeah. filmmakers that are 18 and under are really, it's not puppies. It's sometimes it's very hard-hitting issues like drug abuse, bullying, cutting,
right.
Yep. cyberbullying. So it's really interesting yeah. on what these filmmakers are presenting. It's an incredible program. And that is part of our festival, and it's been going on for about 5 years. But another thriller, A Girl in the Woods, it's a little more scary than thriller, but then when you click on it, you can look at the bottom, and it will recommend more films for you. But there's a trailer.
Oh, nice.
That's the cool thing, Ralph. You can just go, and you can go, Mia said, The Girl in the Woods. You check out the trailer. You got a little description. Sometimes there's a director statement. It tells you where the film is. If the filmmaker is going to be in attendance on this film, James Ryan is coming in. And then you can have you can buy your ticket. There's a little ticket click. Little page right there, you can click on and buy a ticket and be all set. So, Ralph, right. I totally recommend trying out my film slot machine.
Tim, what is your favorite genre of movie?
You know, I'm kind of a To Kill a Mockingbird guy.
Boy, you guys love Hitchcock stuff. Classic. Both of them love Hitchcock.
Yeah. I'm cool that way. Not proud to admit that, but thanks for asking.
What do you have for him, Mia?
Well, that would be like maybe Social Justice. Let's see. To Kill a Mockingbird. What I would say that could be.
Good old Harper.
Yeah, Harper. Yeah. The kid was amazing. She was amazing. So for that, I would try. Let's see. I'm going to try, not through, let's get World Cinema. And then I would try for you, it's not really like North by Northwest, but it's kind of a cool, our opening night is Where There's Love, There's No Darkness. And
okay.
it's more of a social justice film. But I think you would really enjoy it.
We will talk. Tim will talk about that movie when we come back. Where There Is Love, There Is No Darkness. One of probably the top three movies that are being highlighted of the dozens of movies for the Arizona International Film Festival coming up on the 3rd of April and running through the 13th. We'll take a break and be right back, and we'll get the description of that movie along with a couple of others, one of which was filmed mostly in old Tucson studios. On The Morning Voice, for Tom Moulton, along with Tim and Ralph, I'm Big Al. Almost 8:52. Tomorrow's episode of The Morning Voice is and always has been hosted by Dr. Ed Ackerley from Ackerley Advertising. I want to make sure that he is mentioned. This is his brainchild, and he gets the credit and the blame for throwing five people together that really had no radio experience at all, plus a couple of people that fill in, one of whom is me. Along with me today, Ralph Phillips from Fairwheel Bikes over at 6th Street and Park Avenue, and Tim Vimmerstedt. In the 7 o'clock hour, we heard of his impressive resume, which went from maitre d' of Charles all the way to the Desert Museum, to Rawhide, back to Trail Dust Town, and to Old Tucson, and where else, Tim?
The Desert Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And
keep going.
Team Air and Space, and then Visit Tucson.
Right. A big, big traveling guy in the business here in Tucson. With us is Mia Schneibel from the Arizona International Film Festival, also from the Schneibel family in Lafayette and Franklin, Indiana, the owner of five drugstores. Family got sick of the snow and moved to Tucson. Pretty neat.
Yeah, we could only take so much snow. And our family just loves Tucson so much. And there's so much to do, as you know. Tucson is blessed with activities every single day of the year.
So,
including the Arizona International Film Festival.
Before the break, we were talking about the movie Where There Is Love, There Is No Darkness, and you thought that maybe Tim would probably find a few things that resonated with him in this movie. It's Thursday, April 3rd at 8 o'clock at the Screening Room. Tell us a little bit about this movie. This is one of your big, I would say, big three movies, right, Mia?
Yeah, it's one of our big three. It was picked opening night for a reason. It's filmed in Paris. How beautiful is that? It's about a migrant from Africa who works long hours as a food delivery driver. And he starts his friendship with an older, lonely Paris gentleman. And their friendship offers this rare connection on reshaping his perspective on belonging. And it's a great moving portrait of endurance, faith, and the unseen workers who sustain urban life. And the filmmaker is flying in all the way from France. And so it's going to be super great, because if there's a filmmaker present for their film, no matter how long or how short the film is, there is a Q&A. So you get to ask questions. And that's why film festivals are so fun, because you get to interact with the filmmakers. And so you'll be able to ask him questions and then hang out with him later. And it's just a really great time. And that's why we're super excited that we're going to have over 60 filmmakers here in Tucson during the festival.
That is big movie number one. Big movie number two airs, let's see here real quick. Let me get the sheet. It is Saturday the 5th at 3 o'clock at the Loft. Movie called Stone Creek with a producer, I believe, is it director or producer, Robert Enriquez?
Yes. Big Tucson connections, and it's about a small-town police chief pursues a serial killer helped by psychic visions while fighting to prove his own innocence. And if you've seen the trailer, you'll know what I mean. It is very suspenseful, and it's a gripping film, and it will hold you from the first minute to the last minute. And the filmmaker will be there, too, and Clint and Susan, they're involved in the film, and they'll be there also. So there's going to be a lot of people involved. It's not just one filmmaker. There'll be a big part of their team at the Loft on Saturday, April the 5th.
Real quick, the last movie of the big three, Long Shadows, lots of locals or extras, filmed at Old Tucson Studios on Sunday, April 6th at 2 o'clock at the Fox. Real quick description.
Super excited. Super excited. It's about a young boy's mother and father's savagely murdered, and he is going out for revenge. Super excited that Old Tucson Studios was the location of this film. We got to bring filming back to Tucson. And so I hope everybody comes out on the Fox Sunday, April the 6th, 2 o'clock. The filmmaker will be there. If you know Dermot from My Best Friend's Wedding and Jacqueline Bisset, they star in the film. It's going to be fabulous.
Mia, thanks so much. Ralph and Tim, thanks. We'll see you soon.